Take it on down from Muscle Shoals through Decatur. Birmingham. Ooh, Montgomery.
And welcome back to the Jeff Force Show here on FM Talk 106.5. Good to be with you on this Monday morning. Technically at CPAC, so it's not really Monday yet, but we're pre-recording a few interviews here and are lucky enough to be joined by from the great state of Tennessee, the Volunteer State, freshman Senator Bill Hagerty. I got to know him really well during the 2020 campaign, and he continues to be a friend of the program. Senator Hagerty, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Jeff, and it's great to be back here with you here in sunny Florida where things are open. Yeah. It's really good to be here. Thank you.
I mean, Florida really is kind of a role model for the rest of the country, I feel like.
I think it is. And I want to say this, too. The energy that I felt walking around CPAC here, the energy that I felt from the audience this morning when I was there on the main stage, it's palpable. People really want to see our country get back to work. People want to see our nation open back up again. And people are looking forward to seeing President Donald Trump tomorrow here, I can tell you that.
Well, and you mentioned that, in your address this morning, but talk about that. The future of the Republican Party, it just seemed to, you know, all these elections before 2020 just seemed so, a lot of Republicans are run on how they were going to help further the Trump agenda. And while Trump's not in office anymore, it still seems to remain the case that, you know, this is still Trump's party, or at least the division he had still seems to be prevalent in the party today.
You think about the vision that Ronald Reagan brought forth, and I think his impact on the Republican Party was as strong as it probably is, stronger than people imagined at that point in time, and it transcended future administrations. This administration, President Trump's administration, and as I said this on the main stage, his is the most consequential presidency that we have seen in my lifetime. He's only had his first term so far. But in those 4 years, he accomplished more than I've seen any president accomplish in my lifetime. So President Trump has the ability to unify our party. He has the ability to message the fact that those policies that made America great again are the policies that are going to continue to win for America. And I think Joe Biden is going to begin to contrast so much with the policies that put our nation on a juggernaut, forward-leaning, from a military standpoint, from a diplomatic standpoint, and certainly from an economic standpoint. What we see the Biden administration doing is taking us back. And my job in the United States Senate is going to be to push back on that every day of the week.
Do you think it's a fair statement to say, though, that the future of the Republican Party, especially going into 2022, which ought to be a good Republican cycle, you really need Trump to remain engaged, or we need to really, as Republicans, continue to have a relationship with former president?
Yeah. Well, I just spoke with President Trump the other day. As I said, he'll be here tomorrow, and I'm convinced that he is going to remain engaged. They can deplatform him. They can do, you know, whatever they're going to do. But you can tell from the energy here right now that President Trump has the ability to bring us together and to continue to cast the vision of a greater and more prosperous America. That's what we need to see as Americans. Americans appreciate strength. That's the kind of nation that the world needs. The world is desperately hungry for American strength and American leadership. I felt it every day when I was serving as U.S. ambassador to Japan. That's the place we need to become. You know, the Biden conversations that say America first is gone. We're stepping back. We're going to join some of these international organizations without holding them accountable. I mean, it's really preposterous. Look no further, Jeff, than the World Health Organization. You know, President Trump very rightly defunded them. They won't be held accountable. They won't reform. And when they went over to Wuhan back in January of last year and simply touted the Chinese Communist Party's talking points, they ignored the fact that the Chinese Communist Party had silenced their researchers. They had destroyed samples. They even prohibited travel from Wuhan to other parts of the interior of China. You couldn't get a flight from Wuhan to Beijing, but you could certainly get a flight from Wuhan to North America or from Wuhan to Italy. They're responsible for spreading this virus across the world. Make no mistake about it. So the WHO goes back over this year, just recently. The Chinese Communist Party ensured that they handpicked the people that went in on behalf of the WHO. And again, a very washed-down, vanilla report that points no responsibility toward this Wuhan virology lab, even though we know there's tons of circumstantial evidence, at least. And what we need to do is stand up and demand reform. What did the Biden administration do? They fully funded the WHO without asking for anything. So these are the types of situations that the American public is going to see a huge contrast in. I don't think America has any question about where this virus originated. It was China. They should be held responsible for this pandemic, and we shouldn't be supporting organizations that just tout the Chinese Communist Party's propaganda.
Well, let's talk about China going forward. New Biden administration, obviously, I say there's going to be certainly a different approach to China policy. What, first off, early on here in this administration, do you get any sense that things are you know, continuing on the same track, or are the Chinese reacting differently now? What is your kind of assessment of U.S.-China relations now that we have a new president?
I think China is going to test this administration. They're going to test our nation like never before. We'd already seen what had begun to happen in Hong Kong. They are basically destroying democracy and violating their promises there. What we saw was extremely disappointed in the recent conversation that President Biden had with Chinese President Xi. He got off that call and said that, well, the genocide that occurs there in China with respect to the Muslim minority population up in Xinjiang, well, that's just a different cultural moray. No, genocide is genocide. We are the fount of democracy here in America, and we should call it like we see it, not try to explain it away. China's watching this, and as I said, they're laughing all the way to the bank when it comes to our policies of reentering the Paris Climate Accord or sending all of our oil from Canada now to China. They're not going to abide by any of these climate requirements that we've got. They're not even obligated to for decades. But America's going to put itself at a competitive disadvantage, and China is again going to reap the benefits of this.
Right as we come into the COVID-19 pandemic and all the shutdowns and all the economic destruction to the American economy, there was a lot of talk about reacting and bringing back manufacturing to the United States, try to extricate ourselves from the Chinese as much as possible, and then also looking at ways to get China to shoulder some of the burden that's been put on us as well. Where do you see that right now? Now that you're in that body in the U.S. Senate, where do you see any of those efforts?
Well, we undertook tremendous efforts during the Trump administration to level the playing field and get reciprocal terms with China and with other trading partners. For example, I worked my heart out for the better part of 2 years to get Japan to enter into a reciprocal trade deal that would open their markets more to our farmers here in Tennessee. What we did was create what has been touted as the strongest agricultural trade agreement that's ever been struck. That's great for American farmers. That's great for American workers. With respect to China, we push back in the same way to get reciprocity again. They've enjoyed an unfair economic advantage against us for decades, ever since they were allowed to enter the World Trade Organization. You know, I think people operated under the misconception that if we allowed China to become exposed to our market economies, they would change their behavior. No, they just took advantage of our market economies and created a huge advantage for themselves, stripping American jobs out of America, creating a surplus that they can use to fund their military against us. I mean, we have to wake up and see it for what it is. That's what President Trump began to do in his administration. He called it out in 2016. When I heard him talking about China, I said, this is the candidate I've got to support. That's why I went in and volunteered full-time in 2016 to help him get elected. That message still needs to resonate. It's going to be my job in the United States Senate to continue to call this out, to stop the backsliding that the Biden administration is hoping to do, and get us back into a forward-leaning posture again with respect to China.
Do you see any reason for optimism with the Biden administration? It seems like, you know, they pushed back a little when the Chinese tried to pin the origins of COVID-19 on the United States. Maybe there is, do you think there's anything they are doing right?
Well, I was encouraged by the fact, Jeff, that after China threatened Taiwan recently, that we saw the administration move the carrier group, the USS Teddy Roosevelt, into those seas. That's the type of posture we need to continue to maintain. We need to support our allies and not back down. That's what we're going to have to do in the South China Sea and the East China Sea every day. But we're going to continue to see Chinese aggression mount. If you think about what they're doing to our allies in Japan, the Chinese just passed a new law that their Coast Guard can now be armed. They've used this, quote, armed Coast Guard, which is essentially a military fleet, to come into the Senkaku Islands. This is Japanese territory,
right,
to come in and run the fishing trawlers out of the area. We've got to stand up to this.
Senator, you've been very generous with your time today. We appreciate it, and let's talk again real soon.
Great to be with you again, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Tennessee Senate, U.S. Senator Bill Hagerty joining us on the program. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Just because we get around.